In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please be seated.
Our gospel story this morning is a strange scene to find in the Bible. Most of Luke's contemporary readers would have known something of what he was talking about, but for us, it's up to me to explain this morning what brings together a call girl, a Pharisee, and God incarnate. We're going to try and keep this all ages appropriate. It was a big sort of meal, a feast of feasts kind of moment. The guests would have been arranged on around a low height table with seemingly endless food and drink. Their seating would have been quite suggestive, each having their own lounging couch, head toward the table, feet away. The primary purpose of the evening would be to dive into deeper philosophical conversation. You may have been part of one of these dinners. We all get stuck in them from time to time. The kind of evening where everyone's trying to prove themselves smarter than everyone else. It'd be a little exhausting. But alas, the evening had other entertainment once everyone's intellect was exhausted. The booze was served throughout the evening by younger women who also played the flute, although neither flute playing nor drink service was their primary vocation. As the evening concluded, these women had other charges. Like I said, it's a strange Bible story. And it's a strange place to find Jesus. That said, he did tell us he would eat and drink with sinners while never sinning. So perhaps we can at least understand how he ended up in such a situation. But even more surprising is to find this Pharisee. I mean, these guys are the ones who made a living out of claiming moral superiority. Righteousness was a job requirement. So we can't help but wondering what's happened to Simon, the Pharisee host for the evening, that made him throw such a party. We'll come back to that question. In fact, the only person it seems to make sense to find at this gathering is the woman. The sinful woman who routinely sold herself for money. This woman who anoints Jesus' feet is very possibly of the flute-playing cocktail waitress end-of-evening entertainers. But she shows up and begins to fixate on Jesus. If this line of the story is making you feel a bit awkward, you're not alone. You can tell as the story continues, everyone else at the dinner party is beginning to feel a bit uncomfortable as well. The woman had come up to the rabbi, this guest of honor, and she had started crying. Given the Pharisee host and the rabbi guest, no one knew how far the local custom was going to go this night. But no one thought crying over the rabbi's feet was part of the plan. The conversation continues as more and more guests notice but try to ignore and pretend what's happening at Jesus' feet isn't happening. If Simon had been married, you could imagine his wife nudging him in the side several times throughout the evening, "Do something." Finally, it's become too much for the host. And Simon says what has to be said. Trying to entrap Jesus, Simon tries to blame him for this awkward moment. The misplacing of such blame, though, is obvious to everyone there. It was Simon who put this whole event together, after all. But Jesus changes the conversation, gives the woman her dignity, and lectures the gathering on forgiveness. Those who have more to be forgiven of, the greater sinner, often love the one who forgives them more than the righteous man who needs to be forgiven little. Forgive much, sin much, be forgiven much, love much. A lot of places we could go with such a lesson. But I can't help but notice this lesson as it happens comes up on Father's Day. You'll remember that we had a big Mother's Day celebration last month. Balloons and flowers, special food, special drink. And we remembered, though, still how that day could be hard for many for lots of different reasons. I have to tell you, Father's Day in many ways can be even more deadly. The content of our relationship with our dad often lies even deeper below the surface and can be even more painful. After all, a lot of folks here likely feel something like the woman felt. She was constantly a disappointment. Her response to Jesus shows her desire to live better, but she's trapped in a system, in a series of relationships that won't let her out, won't let her live a holier and more fulfilling life. Each morning she looks in the mirror and she sees nothing but disappointment and sorrow for her own failures. I'd also guess a lot of dads here feel something like Simon did that night. Dads often feel stuck watching an embarrassment continually unfold. They know it's not going as planned, and they know others can see how awkward and unfortunate it's getting. Yet they're stuck in passivity, not sure how to rectify the problems they're seeing occur. Relationships between fathers and children can be difficult, to be sure. But then, in that moment, in between the judge and those who are judged, in between the righteous one and the sinner, that's where Jesus enters. Into these unbelievably difficult relationships enters Jesus, talking about forgiveness, and in particular about how the more we forgive and are forgiven, the closer we will find ourselves to one another. A lot of us want to be like Simon, pretend like nothing's really wrong. But Jesus challenges us by his example, at least, if not his teaching, to enter into those moments where much has gone wrong, but much can be forgiven. Perhaps your relationship with your dad was easy. You sing Faith of Our Fathers, and it's not at all ironic. You mean it all. But if you're among such a blessed group, then it is at least so in part because one of you knew what many fathers and children have missed. Forgiveness binds us to one another and makes our unions stronger. You know, Simon was supposed to be the hero of this story. He's the one that set it all in motion, right? Once Jesus takes him off script, we think that Jesus then is the hero of this story. But Jesus says we need to look to someone else. Simon, he says, Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, you righteous one, you are supposed to have all your manners in order. And yet it is this lowest class woman who washes the mud of the travels off the Lord's feet. It is her tears and her ointment that anoints him. It's her kisses that welcome and honor him. And she is able to do all of this because she is the one who has sinned much and been forgiven much. This should be, I hope, for all of us sinners on this Father's Day. Whether it's in our relationship with our biological father or with someone else, all of us have relationships where much sin has been brought to bear. But there is hope, for where there is much sin, there can be much forgiveness. And those who are forgiven much tend to love much. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.